Sodor and Gomorrah by N.W. Twyford. Read by Howard Ellison. The whistles sound a bit like screams, Tom thought sometimes. They were certainly shrill enough. He'd heard them on certain nights his entire life. The trains. Always late at night when his family slept. Sometimes when it was clear, when the moon washed his bedroom in silver light, and at other times when it rained, the sounds carried through the downpour. The chugging and the whistles left no doubt. These were steam trains. But no steam trains ran anymore on the only line that passed nearby. He had checked. Researching the line and its history thoroughly, it had become something of an obsession to him. His parents had no idea what he was talking about. The services were cancelled years ago, a thing of years gone by. But he knew what he heard on those seemingly random nights when he discreetly smoked out of his window without his parents knowing. His insistence only served to elicit confusion and concern from them, who found his fixation unsettling. The trains became a topic unspoken, a subject that would not be discussed. Yet the mystery gnawed at him, and he knew he had to learn more. That was why Tom waited until his parents were asleep before going out, telling them he was going to stay up and watch the late-night film, keeping an ear open for the sounds of slumber. Leaving the house, he crossed the gentle suburbs and entered the woods past the train station, the entrance winding round the back of a small industrial estate. Tom made his way deep into Ambara Woods. He knew them well, having entered innumerable times throughout his life, first on night hikes with the cubs, then, as he got older, climbing the hill with his friends. They used to play on the rope swing, and as interests changed, it became a great location to build a fire and get high. The woods were empty tonight, and he fought off a sense of paranoia, flinching at every sound. There was one point where the path crossed the railway tracks, the route gently leading down to the railway with a surprising lack of fuss. There was no bridge, markings, or precautions, just an understanding that one would cross without incident or dawdling. Tom respected that. It gave him a sense of nostalgia for a time he had never lived in, that he had only seen in films and read about in books. Alone, he waited by the tracks for the mystery train. Time passed, and Tom settled into an uneasy routine of boredom and, well, feeling a bit weird. It wasn't the sort of thing one told their friends about. In his mind, he figured it was somewhere between stargazing and dogging. It was definitely closer to the former, but that aspect of lurking, even if not sexual, made him feel like he was doing something strange. Eventually, Tom realized he'd wasted his time. All he had achieved was a walk and cramp in his knees from squatting. Fuck this. He got up, dusting himself off and slowly making his way back up the hill, away from the tracks. That was when he heard it. The whistle was shrill and pure, cutting through the still night air. It was just like he'd always heard, but so much louder and clearer. Tom ran back to the tracks and waited. He saw the smoke first. The moonlight caught it, making it resemble a thick mass of low-hanging cloud, pumped skywards with the machine precision that was expected of it. I knew it, Tom thought as he waited for the mysterious train to get closer. Steam trains were for exhibitions, for events, for showing off. Why would any make their way along the track at this time of night? He watched, wondering, as the train chugged closer, its sound and movement embracing every cliché of its type. Illuminated by the moonlight, the train was easier to see now. As it came into view, Tom thought he saw something strange. Everything else was as he expected, but this one detail, it looked like... No, wait, I think it is... Oh, bloody hell! The train had a face, seemingly grey, although in this light who could say for sure? It wasn't painted on, but appeared to be affixed to the front of the train somehow. It was grossly distorted, its proportions stretched as if it had once been the size of a man's face, but had been pulled to become something else entirely. It grew closer, and the more Tom stared, the more he noticed. It wasn't flat. The face had all the contours of one wrapped around a skull, manipulated by muscle. It seemed to smile, he saw, and the toy-like eyes were large and stupid, happily content in its own strange world. Tom had already stepped back from the tracks as the train went past. For some reason, he didn't want it to see him, as absurd as that sounded. The train whistled just before it went by, and Tom could have sworn he glimpsed the face contort, as if in pain. Whistles that sound like screams. Tom looked for a driver, but couldn't see one. He saw the open cabin and the orange light of the stove burning coal, but no man could be seen within. The train towed wooden-bodied carriages with steamed-up windows. Tom could see people inside, silhouettes moving strangely in the gloom. Each carriage contained a different type of passenger, and as the lights flickered on and off, he caught glimpses of them. Within the first carriage, people were eating. Eating was putting it kindly. These people were stuffing their faces, taking entire fistfuls of food and shoving it into their mouths without discretion or dignity. Inside the second carriage was fighting, passengers attacking one another without remorse, savagely. Bodies bounced off cracked glass, chairs were thrown, and, Tom was sure, he saw passengers wielding cutlery as weapons. The inside of one of the windows was splattered with something dark. The people in the third carriage seemed to be engaged in an orgy. He first noticed this when he saw hands pressed against the glass, flat palms wiping the condensation as they were forced against them. Tom craned his neck to look within this one, and quickly regretted it. The orgy was violent, the figures within moving with an obsessive lust that showed aggression and hatred, devoid of passion. It made him feel sick. The remaining carriages passed, and Tom watched them all with interest and an increasing sense of disgust. One was filled with people stripping the carriage bare, scrabbling and fighting over everything they could lay their hands on. In another, passengers barely moved at all, stretched out apathetically, as if heavily sedated. The carriages went on, each one distinctive from the last. Tom watched them all go, deep unease shivering across his skin. The train moved down the line, slowing. And after hesitating, Tom followed, running down the track in its wake. After a short while, the track split, and the train went down a diverted line into darkness. Tom had taken this line scores of times, and never once had he known of a diverted route. As far as he knew, the train went from Reading to Shalford, and that was it. He didn't even know of any other routes that intersected with it. The tracks shouldn't be there. Which was why he kept repeating, "You're a fucking idiot," over and over in his head. Why that pit of anxiety that grew in his belly went deeper and deeper, mirroring the darkness he was descending into as he followed the train, the only light coming from the ghastly carriages that cast shoddy, shadow-strewn images onto the ground around it. He kept going like that for some time, trying to stay on the sleepers to avoid tripping, when lights came from ahead, and the route opened out. Tom had no choice but to follow close behind. With the edges of the line opening, he was exposed, the carriage his only cover. He was in a railway yard. The tracks were a spider's web of lines lit by sickly white light from ancient lampposts. The yard was alive. All over, black shapes with yellow eyes. Things that were meant to be men but couldn't be were at work. But when the train came to a halt, pulling up at a desolate platform, they stopped what they were doing and descended on the carriages in a black mass. They hauled the passengers out. Those who had been consumed by their desires came out of their trances, some filthy, others bloodied, some naked, some were all three. And as they realized where they were, what a state they were in, and what was happening, terror struck them. A deep, booming voice yelled, ordering the shapes,
"All change, please."
Tom had seen more than enough. He wanted to run, but fear froze him into place. If he stayed hidden, even with the shapes only feet away from him, he could remain unseen. But he knew he couldn't remain there much longer. Fuck it, just go. He ran, feet moving so fast he almost tripped. Tightness seized his chest, and adrenaline failed to carry him anywhere near as far as he hoped. Keep going. Don't stop. The darkness of the way he came loomed, for once inviting. Better the devil he knew. He was close, almost out, when more black shapes emerged from the darkness, cutting him off.
No trespassing,
he heard behind him, the same voice that boomed orders to the shapes. The man was well-dressed in a top hat and tails, massively obese, but strength radiated from his enormous frame. His face was beyond hideous. The black shapes surrounded Tom, clutching at him with a cold and firm grip. He wrestled, but more hands came to grasp him. Get off me! Tom snapped, struggling. He might as well have tried fighting the tide. Please! You haven't paid your fare! The controller of the shape screamed. I didn't ride the train, I followed it.
You have caused confusion and delay,
the controller said.
But you will be useful.
Tom woke to wind blowing in his face, which felt strange, tingling and slightly numb. It was still night. Everything was a blur around him, and as his eyes focused, he realized it wasn't his eyes. It was everything else. It was moving. He was moving. The wind hurt his eyes, yet no tears came. He tried to move his face out of the wind, but he couldn't. It was fixed in place somehow. So was the rest of him. He tried to move his hands, but they didn't seem to work. All he could see was the tracks passing beneath him. Tom screamed, but nothing came from his throat. Instead, a shrill whistle cried behind him. He couldn't see what it was, but he suspected. Panic started to overtake Tom. He wanted to get off whatever he was on, but of course he could not. But underneath the chill of terror was a warmth, something calm and nurturing stoked in his belly, bringing peace despite the horror he felt. Tom knew what he could feel burning, what calmed him. It was his soul. The engine was consuming his soul, burning it like coal. It didn't make sense, but then nothing did. How else could Tom explain what was happening, what he was becoming? Except he wanted to be called Thomas now. It had a better ring to it. And the engine behind him that was him continued to eat into his soul, chewing it around. But he didn't mind. He didn't mind anything. All he could think was how he wanted to be a really useful engine. Choo-choo!